Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Take the opportunity. You're not distracted by your ads, which is the problem most people have when they start running ads and traffic, is they get distracted by it and stop building other parts of their business. Well, you don't have that, so keep building other parts of your business. High ticket dropshipping is a game of numbers in some respects, and you need to put as many tests out into the water as you can, which means you need as many brands as you can in your niche, and as many suppliers as you can in your niche on your website to see which ones are going to be the ones that work, which ones are not going to be the ones that work.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. And today I want to dive right into Google Merchant Center suspensions. I feel like at this point, John, it is a rite of passage. It is a hurdle that I wish didn't exist, but it seems like... It used to be like choosing a niche or calling suppliers was the reason people would start dropping off. That was the reason they couldn't move forward. This feels like the new thing that is like just yet another hurdle in the beginning where it's like, I've been suspended for 3 weeks. I've tried everything. I quit. But it feels like a rite of passage. And for those who are willing to continue doing the work, this won't last forever. It does go away. And there are things you can be doing. But we talked a little bit about this on our student call today, and I took a few notes and just said we should probably record this on the podcast and kind of go on to it. We've talked about it before, but this seems like a pressing topic that most new people are having to deal with, that you are guilty until proven innocent is what it kind of feels like.
Yeah, look, I guess so. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I see this happening to as many people as some people think. It's because you only hear from the people that it does happen to. You don't hear from the people it doesn't happen to. So I don't want to say that it happens to everybody because it doesn't happen to everybody. I mean, I kind of see the numbers in our student groups and of who comes in and who gets started and who didn't I hear from that they had a merchant center suspension and who did I hear from and this person's making sales and I never heard they had a problem. So I don't want to say it's everybody. It certainly is much more prevalent than it used to be. Not so much in the sense of suspensions actually happening. Like, and this is probably more the difference. Like, suspensions have always happened. It's just they used to get resolved really quickly. So, I mean, I used to open Merchant Center accounts for clients. I reckon 70% of the Merchant Center accounts I opened got immediately suspended, right? Like, going back, like, I'm talking like 4 or 5 years ago here. The difference is that when you went for your first review, they would almost always get fixed like within a 24 hours. And so it was never a problem, right? Because they'd get fixed straight away. The difference here is that they're not getting fixed straight away. So I don't know even necessarily that the incidence of suspensions has gone up. It's just that because now they're largely driven by AI processes within Google, their employees seem not, in many cases at least, to have the power to overturn those, or at least easily, that the suspensions now take time to get fixed. And so they're much more noticeable because people aren't able to run Google Shopping ads in many cases, obviously, while you can't access Merchant Center. And so, you know, we hear about it more because people want to get their business started. You know, Google Shopping traditionally is the first form of traffic that we utilize for high ticket drop shipping, and so when that's not available, you really feel it in the beginning, right? And I think that's why we hear about this a lot more now, is that that's the bit that's changed. It's not so much that suspensions happen, it's just that the length of time it takes to get them overturned has changed. But I want to be clear, they all get fixed, right? I don't know anybody who's never had their merchant center suspension fixed. For some people, it does take a bit of time, and that really sucks. I want to sympathize here. It really does. It sucks. It's frustrating. It's annoying, particularly when you're not, in many cases, you haven't done anything particularly wrong. You haven't got anything particularly wrong. It really sucks. It's frustrating. But if you're listening in and you'd like to take the first steps towards building your own high-ticket dropshipping business, head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go, where we've got a free training waiting for you that's going to walk you through the first steps you need to take to start your own high-ticket dropshipping business and I'm going to walk you through an actual example of what one of these businesses looks like. You know, it will get fixed, and I think what you do next will really influence whether it gets fixed. So, I mean, I think there's two things here. I think you've probably got a story to share here about actually making sure you've done the work to get everything right and how that's not always the case. But, and I'll let you go into that in a second. But I think for me, when we look at the people in our membership that we hear from who have had their merchant center suspensions fixed and overturned, the one thing that stands out, which I don't think everybody is doing, is the people who get it overturned, they're just very relentless with contacting Google. Because what appears to be the case is that there are people within Google who don't have the power to fix these things, and there are people that maybe do have a little bit more influence who can fix things, who you can get in contact with. Now, this is not a case of names or having a point of contact or anything like that. It's just when you contact Google, you get a different person every time. And so the people who are getting their things overturned are, you know, just taking advantage of a numbers game, right? They're contacting Google every day via whatever means they can find possible. And they're asking for help. And eventually at some point they're getting the right person helping them, and that's getting it fixed. And in some cases that right person is saying, oh, actually there is nothing wrong here. I can't find anything wrong. I don't know why this is the case, and I'm just going to overturn it. Other times they are getting some feedback that is useful and they're fixing something, and then it's getting overturned. But there is no secret to that. Fiverr is not going to fix it for you. The agencies that will charge you $3,000 to get it fixed. I've heard from plenty of people who have tried that avenue as well, and it's about a 50-50 prospect, which means those agencies don't have a secret in at Google either. They're also playing a numbers game, and sometimes they fix it, sometimes they don't. And that's a bit of a way to waste $3,000 if you ask me. But so that's what I would say. You've got to play the numbers game. Just if you're suspended and you're just sitting there not doing anything for like a week or two at a time waiting for your next review to come up, that's the wrong thing. Don't wait for the next review. Just don't hit a button in Merchant Center. Like, actually go and contact Google. You know, get on their chat line. You know, sometimes you can find a phone number. Call the phone number if you can find a phone number. Like, just do everything every day. Like, spend 5 minutes sending a message in, I think, because that's going to help you if you can do that consistently until it gets fixed.
Well, you said that on the call, and I was just, that's definitely what we see in our community, right? Is the people who are relentless end up getting someone to look at their site. And it's not just the AI. If the AI is going to come back and look great. We've done a podcast in the past. I'm actually struggling to find the number. It wasn't that long ago where we did a, hey, go look at these things. You walked through a whole bunch of stuff when we talked about this. But I saw a new one today. We had a student reach out and was just like, hey, I'm suspended. I'm at my wit's end. What do I do? And I said, I'll come look at your site. And I looked at it, and I was a little shocked at how obvious some of the things were that they were overlooking. They had, you know, a section on their homepage with a button on it where the button said button. That seemed pretty obvious to maybe change that. I went to their privacy policy and just kind of scrolled through, looked at the bottom. The email was spelled wrong at the bottom. do I think those were major factors? No, but I certainly would, you know, at least go through my site with a fine tooth comb. The other thing I noticed is when Google's robots come to your site, they don't do anything like impressive. I don't know if you've ever noticed them on Clarity John before, or back in the day it was Lucky Orange we used them. Mm. And so I just did what I would see them do, was just like click your menus. And so I clicked their menus, the person who reached out, and every single one of them went to a blank page. And I was like, oh, that's 100% what the AI is doing. They're coming to your site, they're clicking the first links they can see in your, you know, your menu bar. They're going to a blank page and they're going, oh, this sucks. Then I clicked like some of the collection pages they did build out, which were brand collection pages, which is, we build a lot of those here in High Tech and Dropshipping. And they had a paragraph on top of each one. And in that paragraph, it said the brand, blah, 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 blah. And then from that point on, they spoke as if they were the brand. So our brand is going to do this. Our product is going to help you blah. And the fact of the matter is, you're not that brand. And so you have to speak about them as a retailer, not as our brand. And often people just go to a brand site and copy some text out of their About Us page and they throw it onto their collection page, and it's going to read like that. It's going to say our, it's going to say my. Your products are often going to say that too. And again, do I think this is the thing standing out to Google's robot? Maybe, maybe not. But it stood out to me as pretty obvious of like, if they're saying you're misrepresenting your products, you 100% are. You're acting as if you are the brand when you are not the brand. You are a retailer of the brand. And so there were some obvious things that to me that stood out. And so this isn't the first time I've had multiple people reach out and say, I'm suspended, I don't know what to do. And then I'll go look at their site and there's, you know, 1, 2, 5, 10 things where it's like, hey, why don't you just fix this? At least before asking for another review. But I do think your point stands of like, just go call every day, call, email, text, send a stern letter of like, this is, you know, undue burden on small business. We are doing absolutely zero wrong over here. We provided everything you've asked for at this point. We feel this is untenable. Like, you know, have ChatGPT help you write a stern letter. You're likely going to get past the robot reply. You're going to get to a human. And that's the whole goal here. If we can just get to a human, they're going to look at your site. They're going to realize you're legit and they're going to move on, or they're going to give you real feedback on some of the things that you could change.
Yeah, absolutely. And to me, look, once again, we don't have any special insight into how Google's AI works from the sound of feedback we get. Nobody at Google does either, which is kind of a little bit mind-boggling. But the small things are exactly the things that I would imagine a robot is going to pick up on, rather than big things, right? Like, these are the things, like a button that's not quite right. An empty thing here, an empty thing there. Under the old review process, which was more manual, I think those are things that humans wouldn't pick up, right? Because human at Google probably just goes a quick flick through your page and, you know, oh yeah, this looks pretty good, I'm going to approve it, right? Whereas a robot, an AI robot's going to go through everything letter by letter, line by line, and it will be able to pick up any anomalies, potential anomalies or things that don't match much more easily than a human can, right? So I think, you know, probably this is another one of those things that has changed, is the nature of the things that might cause a suspension now are probably more nitpicky and smaller things rather than really, I mean, in some cases it is big things, like, you know, people having different phone numbers, different addresses. I mean, I still see that happening. But I think some of the things are quite small. So to Ben's point, like, really going through your site with a fine-tooth comb, because it can just be one small thing, one placeholder image somewhere, one link in a description that you copied from a supply site that goes to a 404 error page. I mean, I've seen that a lot of times. Even just linking off your product pages to another website. Like, I see people, they link to some sort of thing that's on their supply site, like a product comparison tool or something like that. You can't link out of your product pages. Google doesn't like that, for example. And sometimes you can get those links in inadvertently because you cut and pasted something. So you really just have to go through it page by page. And that's not to say that if you're suspended, this is your problem. But like Ben said, sometimes it is. And you have to be certain of that.
But more importantly, the point of this podcast was to tell you to keep working, right? So like on the call today, we mentioned run Bing ads. You are not prevented from doing anything on Microsoft. Go run them. Go set up your shopping funnel over there. Go set up text ads. Crush on Bing. Go set that stuff up. If your GMC is suspended, but your Google Ads is not suspended, you can run text ads as well. Perhaps running exact match text ads to your products is a good idea. Mm. Certainly something I'd be willing to test. If it was me, I would just go hard on SEO personally. What is in the course is unbelievable. I made it myself. I'm pretty proud of it. And like, go get your products right. Go get your collections right. And from that point, you can literally rank anything. Once that's done, Google's going to love you. They're going to know what your site's about. They're going to know who you're serving and that you're doing a great job of serving that person. And then when you go to answer the public and you type in your product type and then start answering some of those questions on there, you're going to start ranking for those. More importantly, go look at the vendors you have. Ask them what their best sellers are. You should be seeing this in your keyword research already. Go put those into Google and type the name of the product and then versus and hit space in Google and just watch what populates for you. There should be product versus product, brand versus brand, product type versus product type, easy keywords that you can get to as a beginner by simply getting your products and your collections right and then start running some of this stuff, supporting the products that you have. And I promise you, like, you're going to rank one of these, unless you're in a very competitive niche, you're going to start ranking one of these. You're going to get traffic, which is going to make you addicted to keep moving forward. And hopefully at that time, the floodgates open on Google and you can start running Google traffic as well. And now you have this supporting content to move forward with. The other thing you mentioned on the call today, John, was like ad brands. You've yelled about this on different podcasts. You've yelled at me about this privately as well. I kind of want to let you just kind of go on about that, because it seems like the most obvious thing to do. People will sit there and kind of twiddle their thumbs and say, what should I do when Google Merchant Center is suspended? But adding brands seems like the most obvious thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think if you're, you know, if you've got a bit of a pause in being able to generate traffic, I mean, you still have a business. Your business is still there. To me, like, I know people get disappointed, and sometimes when you get disappointed by an outcome or a challenge, your result is to pull back and to stop doing anything and to kind of like, it doesn't work, blah, blah, blah. Like, I mean, not being able to run ads doesn't mean anything doesn't work in a business. So take the opportunity. You're not distracted by your ads, which is the problem most people have when they start running ads and traffic, is they get distracted by it and stop building other parts of their business. Well, you don't have that, so keep building other parts of your business, right? Like, add more brand. You need, you know, high ticket dropshipping is a game of numbers in some respects, and you need to put, you know, as many tests out into the water as you can, which means you need as many brands as you can in your niche, and as many suppliers as you can in your niche on your website to see which ones are going to be the ones that work, which ones are not going to be the ones that work. And so if you've got a pause in between when you can start running traffic, like, spend that just getting more and more and more brands on your site. Upload their products. Optimize their products properly. Do the SEO on those product pages properly. So that when you can run ads, you're in an even stronger position than you would have been when you just had one or two brands on board and you were going to start running ads, right? Because you're going to have to do that work anyway. Even if you could start running ads, you should have still been calling suppliers and putting more products on your site and doing all of that sort of thing. So not being able to run ads shouldn't mean that you can't keep doing the other work in your business, because it is going to get fixed at some point, the Google Shopping situation. And if you keep working on your business, when you can hit that, you're probably actually going to be in a position where you can be more profitable on it from the start than you would have been if you were able to run ads right in the beginning and your business wasn't as built out. Right, so it's an opportunity for you to focus in on some things that you probably wouldn't have focused on if you could run traffic, so that when you can run paid traffic on the Google Shopping thing, and I'm going to say there's so many other ways you can do paid traffic, like there's many other pay-per-click platforms out there that if you really want to send traffic to your website, you can, you know, you're in a good position to do that. Work on your product pages, improve your... Do some conversion rate optimization work. I mean, it's not as easy to do that without traffic, but there are still things that you can do, build into your product pages, that I'm sure that you may not have done. And so, you know, there's so much you can do, you know, that you haven't done yet. Like, even just thinking about, like, thinking back to our live event, which we talked about in the last episode, one of the talks there, our buddy John Murphy did a talk about building an affiliate army. Right? Like, there's nothing to stop you. You've got a business, you've got products. Like, why can't you reach out to people who do have traffic and say, hey, if you recommend my products, I'm going to give you a 10% commission. Why couldn't you start doing that in the beginning? Absolutely, you can. They don't care about whether you're making sales or not. You know what I mean? So, like, there's so much shit you can do, right? That, you know, people see the Google Shopping thing as the be all and end all of high ticket drop shipping, and it's so not, you know. And if you're really serious about building a business, you've got to have a do whatever it takes for as long as it takes mentality, you know, there's always going to be challenges. Like, as you grow a business, you know, this is an early challenge for sure, no doubt. But even if you could run ads in the beginning, 12 months down the track, 24 months down the track, you're going to hit something that really fucks with you a bit, right? Everybody does. Every business does. You know, so this is no different. It's just one of those things, and, you know, you'll get through it and you'll be stronger for it.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.